Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Growth Over Comfort, where we have those discussions that make you feel uncomfortable, necessary for our growth. This is Simone, and we got Dawit here.
Hello, hello. It's Dawit.
And today we're going to be discussing the importance of renewing your mind. This has been a topic that's been pretty close to my heart. I think it's honestly the key to life. If you take the time to renew your mind, you will have a renewal in your life that follows. And this kind of brings me back to my favorite verse in the Bible, which is Romans 12:2, which is, do not be transformed by, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I think it's very important for us to take the time to self-reflect, practice self-awareness constantly, and understand that what we've been taught our whole lives has been conditioned, and we need to take the time to unlearn a lot of things, because we have about 60 to 80,000 thoughts per day, and about 85% of those are negative. So there's a problem in there. Like, it's so obvious that it's blatant, that it's obvious, and that we need to change it, and we need to practice renewing our minds. So that's what we're going to discuss today, Dawit.
Definitely, definitely. And this is one of the favorite topics I always like to talk about, because for me personally, I'm a nonconformist. To me, the Bible says it very clearly, do not conform to the ways of the world, because that will prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. So for us, conforming to the world, we're pretty much deifying, you know, God's will for us and His perfection. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make junk. And most important thing, God never starts something He's never finished. So who are we to conform to the things that we're seeing along? And if we conform, the biggest, I would say, like, reflection of that is our brain, you know, of how we think. You know, does it reflect the kingdom? Does it reflect earth? So I think that's a very important thing to protect as well, too. Even for myself, I protect my brain. I don't allow any negative in my brain. For me, like, if there's negative in my brain, I'll raise the rent and get it evicted. Like, straight up, you know? And one of the best examples I can share is, think about your house. If someone came to your house and dumped trash just in your living room, right? You'd probably be pissed. You'd be like, what the heck? Why do they drop trash? You get pissed for that, right? But if someone drops negative in your brain, why were we not pissed? That's even worse.
That's true.
They drop trash on a $10 billion property, or whatever billion-dollar property it is, right? We should be agitated. We should have fences. We should have radars. We should have sensors. Like, we should block all that negativity, you know? So that's being non-conformed, in my opinion.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
I think it's really important to realize that we've been given such an amazing gift from God, something that no other animal has, and that's the power of imagination. Our brain is able to imagine so many different things that other animals can't. That's why they live such a linear life. They live on survival. They worry about eating, sleeping, and defending their family, and that's it. But we have the ability to imagine so many different things. We can place ourselves in scenarios that are completely different from the person next to you, like, just based off of experiences and the power of imagination we're given by God. And
speaking of vision, this is one of my favorite examples to share. Like, the difference between our brain having a vision and an animal brain with no vision, for example, a dog, right? Or your pet. If you throw something, you know, that dog will go and get that thing and give it back to you, right? But one thing I can guarantee you for sure is, while that dog is running to that item and returning that item to you, it's never going to have a vision of saying, wow, one day I'm going to be in a circus with 20,000 people, and I'm going to be on the top, and I'm going to be the fastest. And it's never going to think like that, right? So I'm not saying you're a dog if you don't have vision, but, you know.
Yeah, you get the point. That's for you to chew on.
Yeah, that's for you to chew on.
But, right. But yeah, I definitely agree. And I feel like an unexamined life is unworth living. That's
definitely.
If we're living life just for on the treadmill or the hamster wheel, then I don't understand what kind of life that we're living. And I'm coming speaking from a place where I lived like that for over 20 years. So coming to a point where I'm examining every single conversation, every single interaction that I have throughout the day, and trying to see what I can take from it and what I can learn from it, because there's a purpose. I firmly believe that there's a purpose to anybody that we come in contact with or anybody that we talk to throughout the day, because God is trying to teach us a lesson constantly. Even from the small little interactions we have, from the Starbucks clerk to your parents to teachers, professors, anything like that, like there's something to be learned. And even relationships too. There's no such thing as an insignificant relationship or friendship. There's something to be learned from it. And we need to get out of that transactional mindset of like, what does this have? What benefit does it have for me? And we have to think, what benefit does my interaction with this person have on them? And what seed we can plant into their minds? Because it's so easy for us in this individualistic culture we live in to think of like me, like what is this going to benefit me? But even psychologically, it's been proven that we're a lot more satisfied and happier in the service of others. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our purpose in this world in the first place.
Exactly. Definitely. You spoke on a lot of good points, but definitely one thing that I'm struggling is transactional relationships, you know? For me, like, naturally, I'm like, okay, I have nothing to get from this relationship or conversation or whatever. So why should I give my 100%? I'd rather give 0%. So 0 or 100, right? And sometimes we don't see it, but it's very selfish. Because for me, if the people who thought like that spoke to me, bro, no one would pour out their life to me. You know what I'm saying? And it's because of their indirect examples when I woke up, quote unquote, and I reflect on the people who impacted me, it was those kind of people who did not have that mentality, right? Because they chose to put their ego to the side and say, hey, you know what? We're going to pour into this gentleman, whether I was 6 years old or, 12 or 18 or 24, whatever. You know, there's people in your life that God puts you, and some people come to your life for a lesson. And some people come to your life for a blessing. So sometimes, at that point of time, when we have a transactional relationship and we're not opening up, we're closing doors. And the biggest thing we can do for people is be blessings. So who cares if you have no benefit? As a matter of fact, the richer the conversation is, the less benefit it is for you. Because at that point of time, that's a true, true humble. And you're learning, actually, at the same time, because the best way to learn is to teach, right? So if you have a point of view and you think, you know when you learn the most? When you think you understand that situation. Mm-hmm. I've learned the most when I thought I got it. It's like, I'm trying to think of an example, but there's times in my life, I thought I mastered, patience, right? And then right away, once I have that feeling or that mode or zone or attitude, bam, a situation. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, God, send me help, man. Send me patience. And then I'll be gifted with things not going my way for 2 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know what I mean? And the same advice I was giving to people, those advice haunted me. I'm like, man, the hardest advice to follow is the ones you share with people.
That's true.
So that's the time where, like, there was a lot of character building to do, So definitely, I like that. I wanted to speak on that.
Yeah, definitely. I firmly believe the best way to learn is to teach. Because when you're learning to teach, you're definitely putting a lot more intentionality behind your learning.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning, when you learn to teach, you learn to bring in application. It's not just knowledge and information that you're storing. You're bringing in application so you can use that to apply it to other people of all walks of life. And it becomes more intentional, I guess, when you learn stuff that way. And going back to getting out of that transactional mindset, you never know how powerful your words are. Mm-hmm. Like, the impeccability of word has probably been one of the strongest lessons that I've learned recently. Because there would, you can, just like you, by you saying hi or acknowledging somebody or letting them know that they look beautiful or whatever, can literally save them from ending their life. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in so many situations where people have told me that they thought about killing themselves the day before. Wow. But just because I said hi to them, or just because I acknowledged some positive trait about them, they were able to realize that they're not all that bad, and that there's actually somebody out there that recognizes the positivity in their life, rather than focusing on the deficiencies or things that they mess up on, which is something that we love to focus on, because the brain naturally loves to focus on negative thoughts and negative things, things that are going wrong with the world. That's where our brain gravitates to. So that's why I think this whole lesson of renewing of the mind is so important. Because if we don't take the time to do that, then we become so autonomous and just like robotic people in this world. And that is definitely not why God created us.
100%. And while you're speaking, you remind me of a story. I remember one time I was just walking around, and I said hi to someone random. You know, I think it was, God. And I said hi to him, and this guy was so down. His spirit was so down. And automatically I was like, wow, I need to help this person. And I asked him, hey, blah, blah, blah. He said, I don't have financial aid. I can't go to school this semester, blah, blah, blah. I said, no worries, man. You know, let me take your number down. Let me help you. Tomorrow, let's meet up. This is a random person, by the way. Okay, random. I've never seen this guy in my life. So I did that. The next day, you know, I bought him dinner. And I told him, pick. I was surprised. This guy doesn't know me. We went to dinner, and he picked a very expensive steak. I was like, okay. And slowly, we build a relationship. Again, this was very uncomfortable. I don't even know this guy. We have two different personalities. And at that point of time, I didn't know why I was doing this. So I kept in touch, blah, blah, blah. I lost his number one time. Then I found it. I called it. And I just followed up. I was like, hey, bro, how you doing? Do you remember me? He's like, David, how can I forget you? Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, thank you. Why do you say it like that? He's like, man, the day I met you, bro, that's the night I was thinking of committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. But, you know, he spent time with me, blah, blah, blah. And last I checked, just a couple weeks ago, this guy got engaged.
Wow. That's beautiful.
He found his love, and he's getting married. So at that point in time, you know, I could have said, well, I can't help this guy. Forget it. But, you know, we don't know what we don't know. Yeah. We're a blessing. So if we're a blessing, we should be blessing to people. We should help them. Who cares if we don't know how? That's the faith, right? That's where God comes to the picture. Okay. If we knew how to do things, we would never have God in the picture. And then without God, he's not going to bless his competition. Mm. Things would crumble every single time. So I think the more it's unknown, the better the story, right? Yeah. So that's why we like underdog stories.
That's true.
Because the more the odds against it, the more the story is like, the more test there is, the stronger the testimony.
I agree.
And God will turn your mess to a message. Mm. You know, so that's very important to remember as well, too.
Yeah. You definitely can't spell message without mess, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. You know what's interesting to me?
Yeah.
How fascinating the brain is. Oh like, my gosh. Can we just give a quick shout out to like how amazing the creator is? Like,
woof, hallelujah.
100 billion neurons.
And
then on top of that, 500 trillion neural network connections.
Wow. You said billion or trillion?
500 trillion connections.
Trillion.
Yeah.
My gosh. In every single brain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, less than some. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
But
I have a joke. Like, some people never have brain cancer because they don't have a brain. But yeah, you're right, bro. That's amazing.
And it's to the point where, like, I don't think people even, like, can understand how amazing that is. Like, I was, like, bringing up this example. Mm-hmm. Like, the word color will have a different meaning to you within the next 48 hours.
And based on how our brains have been wired.
Yeah, because wow. I tell, what is the first thing you think of when I say blue right now?
Sky.
You think of sky.
Yeah.
If I ask you the same question 48 hours from now, whatever you've encountered that's blue, it could even be a sensation.
Yeah.
It could be calming. That could be your answer. It could literally be, I don't know, just a car that you saw the other day that you really liked. It can, you're, that's how the brain works. It's going to bring that to the forefront of your mind. Is, and the thing, like the whole idea of neuroplasticity, how our brain is so plastic, it's always ever changing. Like it'll never remain stagnant. It's just so amazing to me. Like there's no denying that God exists when you see that brain. Like
100%. And also it's like the way we can rewire our brains and set pathways.
Exactly.
Like one of the examples I was learning about today actually was about building muscle memory. Mm-hmm. How every, just a basketball player, they always practice shooting before the game, you know, get the juices flowing, and they're building pathways. And during the game, they'll catch the zone because now their brain is like, oh, wow, I've seen you do this form before. You've done it thousands of times. So that's why even if you haven't played basketball in a while and you just warm up for a little bit, that's why it's a warm up. You're warming up to heat up. You can't heat up without warming up. You can't run without getting up.
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just like, wow. So for our brain to do that, like, man, I think it's... it's a de-edification not to use our brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like your dad bought you a Porsche. Oh, yeah, it's a nice Porsche, but I'm not going to drive the car. What? That Porsche could have gone to someone else and it would add more value.
Yeah.
So I think it's a responsibility to use our brain.
Yeah.
As stupid as it sounds.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very important point as well.
Yeah, that's true. And to kind of piggyback off your idea of... your comparison of like shooting, like in the NBA or whatever, when they're warming up.
Right.
It's the same. You can apply that to positive thoughts and negative thoughts. Like if you're constantly having negative thoughts, you can rewire your brain to have positive thoughts. Awesome. You can literally trick the mind. The mind, it's amazing, but it's also really stupid at the same time because it can be tricked into thinking certain things. But it's so sad to see like, a lot of sickness in this world is related to negative thoughts.
Yep.
Literally, thoughts can make you sick.
Exactly.
As crazy as it sounds, like, that's literally what science is proving to now. And...
that's crazy.
Like, are you literally going to allow your thoughts to make you sick on top of all the pollution in the air and the food that's making us sick already? Like, your own thoughts that you're in control of, you're going to allow those to make you sick? Like... we cannot do that. Like, we have all this information, we have these knowledge, we have these studies out there that prove otherwise. So we need to practice renewing the mind.
Exactly. That's why, like, it goes back to preventable diseases and sicknesses. That's triggered by thinking about the worst case scenario, you know, or worrying about a small thing that could have been kept small if you didn't expand it. But because you abuse your brain by thinking... you thought about what would happen bad, and then your brain is so stupid. Your brain thought that happened, and then you pretend like what happened is real, and then what was just a nightmare becomes reality, and that's how I think people become sick.
Yeah.
You can never be sick without expanding the idea of being sick.
Exactly.
You can even beat your sickness by positive attitude. We've seen it with cancer. We've seen it with a lot of diseases. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, just like... what's his name? Dr. Dispenza?
Yeah, this Joe. Oh.
What he was saying by the time we reach 35, it was 80% of, no, it was 90%. 90% of what we do is habitual.
Right.
And are those habits, part of those habits are like your thoughts. Your thoughts are part of those habits. Like, so if if you're constantly thinking negative things, your body's going to get wired and conditioned into thinking negative things. Like, so first thing you think of in the morning is something negative. Think of deficiencies. Think of things that you don't have. Think of things that you wish you had. And that'll literally set you up to... it's like putting a lens over your eyes, a negative lens.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go about the day, like, you're literally going to look for things that are negative. That's just how the brain works.
Mm.
It's... the brain is very energy efficient. So it's not going to work harder than it has to. If you've conditioned it to think negative, then it's going to continue to do negative, because it takes a lot more neural networks to think positive, because that's outside of your conditioning. So why would it work harder if it doesn't have to?
Exactly. And think about this for a second. How could you think negative and have a positive life? Mm. Just doesn't make sense, right? If you're thinking about all the worst things that can happen, you're attracting that situation. You're conditioning your brain to look for the situation. You're even training your brain to be comfortable in that situation. Of course you'll be negative. But like the way I look at it is like you should control, like you can control your brain. Okay? Mm. So don't speak what you have that you don't want. Speak what you don't have that you want. Mm-hmm. So instead of complaining about not having this and this, be thankful that you have a brain, first of all. You know, and that you can use your brain, that you have enough common sense to exercise what your brain is supposed to do. And then and start off from there, right? That's a very important thing. And also earlier when you said you can trick your brain. Oh, I trick my brain all the time. I have a lot of fun with my brain, you know. One of the things I love trick my brain is, for example, what I'll do is I'll nap for 15 minutes. I'll time it, you know, 15 minutes from like this time to this time, you know, just in between my day or after work or whatever. But I'll trick my brain that I'm sleeping for 8 hours. Literally, this works every time. You can try it. And those who have tried it can speak for it as well, too. You literally wake up like you slept for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Even though you only slept for 15 minutes.
I need to try that one.
That's a lifesaver for me, definitely. You know, so
my brain's the opposite. I'll sleep for 8 hours, it'll tell me that I slept for 15, but
exactly. But if you like reverse that, man, you're going to have a lot of fun, bro.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think, I guess some tips that I've been incorporating this past year is just working on gratitude and affirmations. Mm. One thing that I changed is I don't charge my phone next to my bed anymore. Mm-hmm. So I physically have to get up to go get my phone.
Awesome.
And being the lazy person that I am, like, I'm going to stay in bed for a little bit. And instead of that, now I have a book next to me and a journal next to me. And first thing I do is I grab the journal and I write down 3 things that I'm thankful for.
Awesome.
It can be any relationships, any friendships, any people or anything in your life that you're thankful for. Just 3 things to start off the day. And then I usually like to do some affirmations as well. Awesome. Some self-affirmation, just speaking life into myself. And then some affirmations of the people around me. And then after that, even that, it only takes 5 to 10 minutes, but the impact that it has lasts for 24 hours. Like, for sure. Awesome. You go about the day looking for positivity in the world, and you're very thankful. So instead of walking down the street and seeing your neighbor's brand new Rolls Royce and saying, mm-hmm, I wish I had a Rolls Royce, you're thankful that your neighbor got that Rolls Royce because he worked hard for it. And it's just like a completely different perspective. I know it sounds so fairy tale, but I mean, until you try it, don't knock it. Like, it really does work.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, how could you have a bad day if you woke up? That's crazy. Like, for me, you know, some people, I used to do it. When I would wake up, I would be like, oh, you know, like, I would have this yawn, my body is moving, you know? Like, those kind of people, bro, I have a simple advice. Go back to bed, you killed your whole day. That's it. What is that? It's like God gave you one more day to live. You're like, like, what a whiner. Right? And if you really think about it, bro, that's a miracle that you woke up.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And if you have a bad day from a miracle and, you know, all these challenges, you know, I have a simple advice. Go to your local cemetery. Like, seriously, go to your local cemetery. You'll be so humble. Literally, like, I swear the next person who says, oh, I'm having a bad day, blah, 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 I'm going to text them an address to the cemetery. I swear. Go there. You'll be so humble. You have perspective. So that's very important. Another thing I learned recently, I was sharing with you, was about your brain, right? Whenever you have a negative thought, write it down on a paper and ask if this is true or false. Because what will happen is if you have a negative thinking, your brain, you're training your brain to find all the negative stuff to fulfill that prophecy. Mm. So you're able to kill that prophecy by writing down on paper and asking a very simple question. Is this true? Mm. Okay? Like, let's say, for example, you have a stigma like, I can't do this, right? X, Y, Z. Whatever situation, whatever walk in life you're in, just write down on paper, I can't do this. Ask a question. Is this true or false? Mm. Right? Well, anything is possible, right?
Yeah.
That's false. That's it. You eliminated a thought. You wrote it on paper. You destroyed it. Now your whole day will be functioning different, in my opinion. And you remove that negativity. Your whole day will be so much positive. You'll feel like it's more than you deserved.
Interesting. I actually have a question for you.
I have an answer.
So I saw this question the other day and I thought it was interesting. Do you think that we are capable of achieving anything, or is there any limitations to what we can achieve?
Oh, I have a simple answer. We can do... is this like... You can do everything, but you can do anything.
Mm.
You see, that's the way I would answer that question. Like, for example, yeah, I can play basketball. I can play football. I can be a carpenter. I can be an artist. And I can be a movie director at the same time. But I won't be professional in all these things. You see what I'm saying? So I think for me, like, that would be my answer. In my opinion.
I mean, I guess to play devil's advocate, not everybody can be a professional basketball player, right?
Says who? By society, they might be conditioned to think, oh, because X, Y, Z, they can't be a basketball player. But at the same time, if they really want it, we've seen it. Like, ambition wins when your talent is not working. We've seen underdogs over and over and over again overlap that. Even there's some basketball players who never played basketball until they're in college. They're making millions right now.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So I think for me, it's all in the mind, I would say.
Mm.
Whatever you focus on grows. That's the most important thing to remember. Whatever you focus on grows. Whatever you feed grows, whatever you starve dies. So if you feed what you want, it will grow very fast. But if you don't feed it, you starve it, it won't grow.
Hmm.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another question actually that I had.
For sure, for sure. Fire away.
Okay, so another question that I have is, do we live in a friendly or hostile universe?
You know my answer. For me personally, we live in a very friendly. For me, like, I've never met a stranger. I'm just meeting a friend for the first time, honestly. Mm. I believe, we're all, like, brothers and sisters. And people are just acting brand new. like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll talk to you. And I'll talk to someone I just met a couple minutes ago the same. There's no difference, really. I might have more to talk with you. But the same as another person, I can have more to talk to.
Mm.
So I don't know why I don't know. So I think it's... To answer the question, it's friendly, in my opinion. Well, what do you think?
I personally agree. And I think it's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we can sit here and choose to continue eating what we're fed with mm-hmm. the media.
Mm-hmm.
Media is always going to show you the wars that are going on or political divide, religious... disputes that are going on, just division. It's just division that's fed into our minds all day.
Mm.
And people are always talking about how this generation is always the worst we've ever seen. I don't know, just our mind loves negativity. Exactly. And we love to feed it and be fed with negativity. But this is also one of the greatest times in history, if not the greatest time in history. Like, you're actually being rewarded on your effort that you're putting in. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is the most millionaire entrepreneurs we've ever had. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's so much unity, ironically, exactly. in the world, because we're starting to see that there's a common enemy.
Mm, that's true.
Like,
that's good.
I think if we understand that we're human before mm-hmm. anything else, before any religious affiliation, before we're black, before we're white, before we're male, before we're female,
mm-hmm.
before we're fat or in shape, like, we're human at the mm-hmm. end of the day. So I think people are starting to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we realize that, like, we understand that this world is a lot more friendlier than we think it is. Like,
100%.
Like you said in the last podcast,
mm.
you were saying, even when the news presents the weather, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. they love to focus on the chances of rain, but they never say there's a chance of sunshine.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's all about perspective. And are you going to continue being fed the hostile and negative information that we're fed? Or, I mean, that's why I don't even watch the news anymore, to be honest.
I can't watch the news. Like, it doesn't help my situation. I'm just feeding a problem, you know, to go bigger. And just to add, some, like, a story to that, I have a good friend of mine. He has two masters, okay? And in his own country, he was arrested, put in jail for 5 years. And 6 months of that 5 years was underground. He didn't see the sun for 6 months.
Damn.
Okay? This guy inside jail, he was so pissed off. He was like, man, I have masters. I'm somebody who's supposed to do big things. What kind of situation am I in? Mm. But God has a plan. I believe God has a plan. Guess what? During the time he was in jail, he lived in a village where everyone died in that village. God spared him by putting him in jail for 5 years. Wow. And today he's a very, very powerful person. He's a revolutionist. And, you know, he's doing great things. I can't spoil the secret. I mean, you'll know him pretty soon. That's the person to interview as well, too. He's like one of my personal heroes.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So I think that's a perspective to have. Like I've said before, the ugliest journey will give you the most beautiful view.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So let's smell the roses along the journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you have that mindset, you live more happier. You'll add more value. You'll grow faster, you know? So, yeah, that's my answer to that question.
Yeah, and kind of piggyback off the same question. We're still on the same question.
Sure,
but
sure. Yeah, definitely.
I feel like our generation loves to focus on the whole idea of, is the glass half empty or half full? Instead of realizing that there's liquid in the cup that we're staring at and that we have something to drink and be thankful for.
Exactly, exactly.
Like, we waste so much time, like, sitting there like, hey, do you think that's half empty or half full? And instead of, like, actually, like, just being thankful, like, thank you, God, for having liquid in front of me when I'm thirsty. Like, let me just drink it. Like,
exactly.
I guess that's just a little side thought, but.
Exactly. It's like the donut as well, too. Like, there's two types of people. When they see a donut, they're like, wow, this tastes good. And there's another category. They're like, wow, there's a hole in the middle of the donut. Why is there a hole in the middle of the donut? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's to answer that question as well, too.
Okay, another question. What advice would you give to your younger self?
Man, me, honestly, I would tell my younger self, just relax. Honestly, just stop. Relax, be in control. Me, I believe we have no regrets.
Yeah.
You know, every situation has happened has led to a happy Dawit. Mm. And I wouldn't trade anything for this happy joy Dawit. I believe this is what's supposed to happen. And if I regretted something, I changed something, that would have triggered another situation to not get me to this point. You see? Mm. So I haven't arrived yet. I don't have arrival syndrome. But I'm still growing. I'm still in the process. And I think the destination is not really the happiness. It's the process. Mm. We become the process, you know? So to advise the younger Dawit is relax. Take it easy. Another thing is read books. Definitely. You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, stop watching videos, you know, or like reading summaries or spark notes, you know, just read a book.
Yeah.
You know, and like somebody said, like, if you want to hide gold, the best place to find gold, hide gold, is inside a book. Mm. And this is so crazy. There's a statistic by Barnes & Noble. Did you know that 80% of people who buy a book from Barnes & Noble, they don't read past the first chapter? Right? Let me repeat that statistic. 80% of people who buy a book from Barnes & Noble, they don't even read past the first chapter.
Wow.
Think about that. And no wonder we are where we are in society. The answer is there. There's a solution to every problem. Reading helps you find the solution faster.
Mm.
That's the way I look at it. So I would tell my younger self, hey, bro, you're spending way too much time in this problem. You could have read a book. It's a self-reflection to yourself, right?
Yeah.
So just take a look at the mirror and accept who that is and change. So that's what I would tell. What about you, Simone? What would you tell the younger Simone?
Where do I begin? I guess for the simplicity of this podcast, Mm-hmm. I mean, me personally, I would give an essay, but I think simply just to be living in the moment.
Mm.
Because me personally, I believe that everything is predestined. Mm-hmm. So if God has a plan for your life, your book has already been written before you're born. Why do we stress? Why do we get anxious? Why do we fear? It's because we see a life without God.
Absolutely.
So I think it'd just be to live in the moment. Like, ever since I started doing that, I've seen so much more, like, happiness and joy in my life. Like, I don't stress about the future as much. Yes, it's good to plan. Like, obviously, you should have a plan for what you're going to be doing. But at the end of the day, like, that plan could be crumpled up and thrown away because our will and God's will doesn't always match up. It rarely usually does, actually. Mm. Especially outside of guidance of the Holy Spirit. Like, if we're being guided by emotion and feeling, trust me, that you might as well just crumble that paper up, like, right now already.
Exactly.
I've learned that the hard way. But, like, that's just the advice I'd give my younger self. Just be patient. Just enjoy life for what it is. Tomorrow's not promised. All that cliche stuff you hear is one of the most realest things. And enjoying the people that you have around you. That's mm-hmm. another big one, too. Because in the psychology of death and dying, mm-hmm. they say one of the biggest regrets for people dying is that they didn't get to say what they wanted to say to that person that passed away. They didn't get to spend time with that person that passed away. And it's always just regret. It's something that you wish you could have done. Mm-hmm. So why even have that regret when... like, what's his name? Kanye says it's so sad that people don't get flowers until they're dead.
That's sad, right?
Like, that's part of living in the moment. Like, if people lived in the moment more, we would see a lot more happier people in this world, I believe.
Exactly. And some people's best dressed day is in a casket.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So that's that's a good answer. Beautiful. Patience.
Yeah. And then one last question I got for you.
All right.
How do you find your passion?
Wow. I mean, the simple answer is God. You know, I mean, but at the same time, it's like telling God to make you the table, even though he's, you know, made the tree. You know, going back to that conversation, God will give you the tree, but it's up to you to build a table. Mm-hmm. And to build a tree or table, you definitely need passion, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's about, if everything is predestined, having, I wouldn't say common sense or maturity, I would say being able to go with the flow. I think for me, the way I found my passion personally was I had to go on my knees and beg God for my passion. Because at that point, I didn't know what I wanted. No idea. So I had to go back to basics. I had to go back to what I enjoy doing. Well, I like dealing with people. I love it. I love counseling. I like figuring out a solution, you know? And the bigger the problem, man, the more excited I am to find a solution. That's just my turn on, you know? That's one. Okay, so I could be a counselor. I could be this. Oh, okay. And I definitely like building connections, networking, you know? So I put two together. So I guess it's putting things together. And then suddenly you'll come up with the answer by yourself. You're like, duh. For me, it was like business, okay? Mm. And then I was like, well, business is okay, but what is my real passion? Well, I like stories. I like learning from people. I like interviewing. But at the same time, I like giving back. Mm. You know, I like entertainment. I like wisdom. I was like, wow, movie director. Mm. Let me try movie director. You know, I was like, oh, that's definitely Dawit. Mm. You see what I'm saying? If you love who you are when you're doing something, that's your passion. But if you don't love who you are when you're doing it, that's not passion. If like people get stressed when they're living for somebody else's passion. Mm. That's called stress. You see what I'm saying? But passion is you're living for your dreams and goals. Mm. If you feel passionate about something, that means it's for your dreams and goals. But if you're stressed, you're doing it for somebody else's dreams and goals.
That's true.
What about you?
Mr.
Simone. Dr. Simone.
There's this term in positive psychology called flow. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing to do is to realize those moments that put you in flow. So what flow is a moment where you lose all self-awareness. Mm. You're not worried about if you're hungry. Awesome. You're not worrying about who's looking at you. You're not worried about what environment you're in. Like, whatever you're doing at that moment, mm-hmm. you're just so deeply invested in it that, like, that's where your heart is. Mm-hmm. For me, just as a personal example, like, whenever I'm writing, that's when I get into flow. Mm. I lose all sense of self-awareness. I'm not worried about my bank account. I'm not worried about what my gargling stomach is telling me. Like, I don't care at that point. Like, I'm just so deeply invested. So I think you focus on that thing that puts you into flow. And I think that's your passion. And then with that passion, you accompany that with a lot of self-discovery and self-reflection to discover your personality, understanding what your personality really is. Mm-hmm. And combining those two, you will find your purpose. It will be revealed to you. And your passion is for you, but your purpose is for others.
Awesome. Beautiful.
So your purpose is, what can you do with your passion to provide for others? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's why we're in this world. We're not here for ourselves, to satisfy ourselves. We're here to bring as many people as we can to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to do that is to find your passion. And I firmly believe that everybody has a passion. There's something that you do 100%. Where you lose complete self-awareness.
Awesome.
Whether it's singing, whether it's playing video games, whether it's watching movies, whatever it is, you do have a passion. So see what you can do. See what purpose you have that you can fulfill with that passion.
Beautiful. Beautiful, brother. And once you have that passion, I think that's when life starts. Mm. I know there's two times when we're born. Once when we come to earth, and the second is when we find our passion.
Oh, that's good.
You see what I'm saying? And I just pray for every single person, really, to find their passion and be the very best at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't just kill it. Bury it. You see what I'm saying? Work so hard in that you don't have to introduce yourself anymore. Mm. You see what I'm saying? That should be goals, you know? So, yeah, I think follow your passion and, make it happen. And if you wait for things to happen, anything can happen. So make it happen.
Yeah. We kind of went a little off topic, but I mean, it's all part of renewing the mind.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all an unlearning process, I guess. Like, we've always been taught to follow this social calendar.
Right, exactly.
We all got to be married at a certain time. We all got to graduate school at a certain time. We all have to have a kid at a certain time, have that dream car at a certain time, have a career at a certain time. But unfortunately, that's not how God works. Right. God has a different plan for all of us.
Right.
For some of us, marriage is not even a part of our plan.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Exactly.
For some of us, school is not a plan for us. For some of us, that career that you thought was part of your plan is not part of God's plan.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, His plan is going to overrule ours. So,
amen.
I think it's important to just kind of take the time to discover your passion, and within that, you discover your purpose in this world. And man, ever since I discovered my purpose, it really is feeling like being born again.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. So just take the time to renew your mind, and it's not a one day thing. You don't snap your fingers and your mind is not renewed.
Right.
It's a constant battle, actually. It's a constant check and balance system that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you take the time to self-reflect, take time to self-discover, interact with your friends. That's another thing that I recommend too, is ask your friends what are some weaknesses that they see in you, because some weaknesses you won't even see in yourself. Mm. And those around you will be able to expose those about you. And I guess it takes a level of maturity to accept that.
100%.
And so
having said that, do I have any weaknesses, or that's after the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think as real friends, like, you should be able to ask without taking offense to what your friends are going to tell you, because they know you a little better than you think they do.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, renew your mind, constant practice, just like anything else, like love and forgiveness. It's going to take constant effort from you. So, all right. That's this episode of Growth Over Comfort. Tune in for next time.
God bless.